Our scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Listen to the word of God. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. Excuse me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for your word, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. We pray through Jesus, the Messiah, the bread of heaven. Amen. My mother had a saying that was interchangeable depending upon her audience. She would say, if she was speaking of herself, "No rest for the weary." You ever heard that one? Mm-hmm. And then if she was speaking to me or my brother because we were moaning because of the chores she had assigned us, she would say, get this, "No rest for the wicked." It was pointless to lodge a complaint and about her choice of words or to file a grievance. There were no civil rights in our household. So we would just go about the chores that she assigned, usually grumbling as we did. When I was a boy, I also thought, wouldn't it be great to live in just a perfect world? Wouldn't it be great to live in a world where there were no chores, no worries, no unfairness to deal with every single day? Wouldn't it be great getting all my chores done and doing whatever I wanted to do and doing it at the same time? Wouldn't that be just perfect? I'm thinking today that in a perfect world, people who are 64 would feel as good as they did when they were 19. In a perfect world, we could eat as many Christmas cookies as we wanted to and never put on a pound. In a perfect world, we would get a big tax refund check in the spring, even if we didn't overpay last year's taxes. In a perfect world, there would be no need to fear bad health, wars, natural disasters, or even death. In a perfect world, there would be no poverty, no hurt, no pain, and no broken relationships. To a greater or lesser degree, we all long for a perfect world where we would be free of imperfections, troubles, and pain. In fact, the human race has been striving to create such a world for generations. And truthfully, not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but we haven't done a very bad job of that, given our science and technology that makes life easier with all the appliances that make food preparation a breeze, compared to the way grandma prepared meals, slaving in the kitchen all day, peeling, stirring, roasting, kneading, baking, and then washing dishes by hand. We've come a long way in that area. And we've come a long way in eliminating disease by improving surgical methods, immunizations, and new research. Wonderful things have been achieved in our world, but we are still nowhere near being a perfect world. We know all too well that the world seen around us has plenty of room for improvement, not to mention our personal lives. And so we come to the prophecy of Isaiah in the 11th chapter. Isaiah's message is the good news that there is a better world coming. In fact, more than just better, a perfect world. And Isaiah begins with his prophetic announcement by saying that the Messiah is coming. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And after talking about this shoot that will come from the stump of Jesse and mentioning the judgment and punishment that he also brings, Isaiah proceeds to describe the result of his coming, which is a truly wonderful picture. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lamb and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and the water as the waters cover the sea. All right, let's be honest. Normally, a lamb would be lunch for a lion. Normally, you don't see a goat getting along with a leopard. Normally, animals don't get along or eat together, at least these types of animals, and then rest side by side, do they? And what is more, a little child will lead them is not the way of the world. Animals that we would hardly describe as suitable pets for a small child, wolves, leopards, lambs, snakes, make playmates for a little child. Grammy Jane would have a conniption. She would not go for that. But this is a perfect picture of a perfect world. No fear, no anxiety. The helpless and the innocent live in safety and have no dread of the ferocious and powerful. In prophetic language, Isaiah writes the best way that human words can describe the perfect peace that the Messiah will bring. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lamb and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. These words are Isaiah's way of conveying a peace we only dream about. It's the peace the angels proclaimed on the very first Christmas when they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the perfect world where God rules and where all the imperfections of the present world are past history. Most of us, when we hear these words of Isaiah, are tempted to say, "Nice poetry. Nice fiction, Isaiah. Beautiful thoughts, but let's get real. It's a far cry from the way the world really is. But before you dismiss this whole scene painted by Isaiah's poetry of a kingdom of pacified wolves and lions and children caring for normally wild and dangerous animals as realistic or irrational, remember the context in which these words are spoken. Isaiah is talking about a world not ruled by prime ministers, presidents, representatives, senators, or rough and tough generals. It's a world ruled by a little child. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And also remember, Jesse was the father of David, King David, the forefather of Jesus. And this is the kingdom of the long-awaited Messiah. It is a world ruled by a little child born in very humble circumstances in an out-of-the-way town in a country no one had ever heard of before. This child is called the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peacefulness and reconciliation. It's easy to debunk Isaiah's promises of peace and a perfect world, but this shoot from the stump of Jesse brings something that far surpasses anything we can create with our intelligence, technology, business, or commerce. It results in something far greater than the smartest and the best diplomatic people at the United Nations can broker. In Christ, all things have been made new. We have the peace of God, which passes understanding, as the apostle wrote. Because of what Jesus has done, we have Christ's peace and perfection that will only be a visible reality when he comes again. And that's one of the reasons for this season, is that we remember his first coming in history, but we also anticipate his second coming in glory. That's when the perfect world will be realized by a little child playing among wild and dangerous animals. And I love the verse that comes a little later in Isaiah's prophecy that says of the Lord, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Let's look at Isaiah's vision in this way. We shudder at the thought of a little child playing near a nest of poisonous snakes, or worse, a child picking up a snake and playing with that snake. Our natural inclination would be to snatch a child away from poisonous snakes for fear of sudden death. But the prophet is telling us not to worry. These snakes are harmless. Their power to kill has been removed. Isaiah is telling us that death has had its power to harm us removed. And the Messiah brings peace and rest. In his kingdom, there will be no need to fear. We're all aware of what causes the lack of peace in our world, and you can't point a finger at someone else to identify it, because we're all guilty. The cause of wickedness in this world is simply sin. And often we think of sin as the action of individuals, and that's true, but sin is the straining and breaking of our relationships. We know how selfishness and jealousy puts a strain on our relationships. Well, we are aware of the fact that we aren't the husband or wife or the son or the daughter or the father or the mother or the employee, the neighbor, the friend, the Christian, the church member we ought to be. When we are less than we ought to be, it comes from sin. And that applies to our relationship with God as well. Sin is the breakdown of our friendship with God. We aren't what we ought to be. We are people who are loved and adopted by God through faith, yet we can't seem to help ourselves. We live our lives as if God hasn't done a thing for us. There seems to be a continuous need to restore our broken relationship and there is plenty of room for improvement. This is where rest comes in. Jesus came to call people who didn't have peace, imperfect people who lived in an imperfect world, people like us. And he comes calling us again today. The Messiah's words in Matthew 11 have an appeal to all the imperfect and worn out people of this world. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's a legend that Jesus, in the carpenter shop in Nazareth, made the very best yokes for cattle, for oxen, in all of Galilee. Every yoke was tailor-made to fit each animal, each oxen, each steer. In Matthew 11, Jesus is saying, "Yoke yourself with me, for my task for you is shared and made easy, and you will find rest for your souls." If I wanted to go to Oakland and I got on the parkway headed toward the airport, I would need to change the direction I was going. Most of us here today need to change the direction we're going as well. We need to go with the one who can change us. Worship and prayer are preliminary steps to taking the yoke of Jesus upon us. Like, your being here this morning is a move in the right direction, for sure, looking to God for strength and help and righteousness and forgiveness. But there's more. We must seek out what God is telling us in Scripture and do what God urges us to do through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that Isaiah proclaimed would rest on the Messiah. And listen again how he describes that Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. In other words, if we want to experience true rest, we will need to make some changes in the way we live. If you have been hard to get along with at home, change your behavior. If you have been slack in your church attendance, don't just say, "Sorry about that, God." Do something about it. Remember, God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. As long as we live in this imperfect world, this will be our daily routine. Daily we will sin, so daily we need to seek God's peace. Daily we must yoke ourselves to Jesus to experience the rest that comes from knowing him and the forgiveness he gives. Daily we can trust in the promise God made through the prophet Isaiah. Over 700 years before Christ, he painted a fantastic picture of the lion and the lamb resting together and a little child playing among them. It's a picture of the peace and rest only God can give. Amen.